Good morning and welcome to worship. Scripture passage at the top of our bulletin invites us to be careful how we live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Trust that this day, the Lord's Day, is a time of enrichment, time of rest, time of reflection, and a time of growing in your relationship with Christ as we worship together. Welcome guests who are with us, and I'd like to just take a brief look at a bulletin for some of the announcements. The biggest one is that Pastor Nick is not with us this morning. He's at home looking after babies. You will take note in the... where did it go here? On the insert, great joy that Pastor Nick and Megan announce the birth of their second child, daughter Lucia Hendrika Wilhelmina Sherman, born on Wednesday. And so we wish them God's blessing, and in particular for Nick and Megan to take this special time together for bonding and growing as a family. Almost heard something behind. Was there an acknowledgement? There was a bit of a... Okay. Nick and Megan, if you're listening to the recording later on, that's our congratulations to you. With Nick not being here and with Irene Hyder not feeling well, she flagged me earlier... a day or two ago, just saying she wasn't well and would rather stay away so she doesn't spread what she has to others. I'll look after the children's story, but seems like if I forget something, that's because there's lots on my plate this morning. At the back of the church on the counter, I found this little tag, and I don't know if any of you find a little tag like this. There might be a different one of a different color in the pews in that. The young people were playing assimilation game Friday night. And just to give you a hint, this one says MCC Relief. This entitles the holder to one set of clothing in the name of Christ. Just mentioned the simulation they were playing was a game simulating the beginnings of Mennonite Central Committee of people from the Ukraine-Russia trying to escape and dealing with all the things that were dealt with. And so if you find one of these hidden away somewhere, it's because that's what the game was on Friday evening. Lots of fun, but lots of learning in the midst of that in terms of history of Mennonite Central Committee. Just to look a little bit further at some of the announcements before we begin yet, in the week at a glance on the back of the bulletin, lots of things listed there, but I'll just note Wednesday, it says there 2:30, but that's incorrect because if you look at the announcement on the insert, the seniors fellowship on Wednesday beginning at 2, so 2 o'clock rather than 2:30, just to make that correction. And with that, Wednesday, this week, Valentine's Day, numerous things happening, but Wednesday afternoon, theme of Valentine's and celebrating with music and stories of romance and, of course, refreshments. Thursday evening, parents of children and teens, special note there, invitation to hear Natalie Frisk of the Meeting House Church in Mississauga. Author of a published book on raising disciples, focusing on parenting. And so both Pastor Nick and Taya have been working on hosting that evening as a support to our parents. I'll also mention next Sunday, Church Around the Table service. We'll be meeting in the gym on a theme of children around the table. And if you would bring a lunch along to eat, maybe a bit to share, we look forward to that special time of fellowship next Sunday. I brought something with me because I don't know if you, watching the news, I won't use this because it's a very loud whistle. Whistles like this are used particularly in sports to begin the play and also to stop the play. I'm not just rambling on. I'm setting you up for later on in the service, beginning and ending. But this last week, whistles like this have become a source of protest, particularly in China and Hong Kong. I was watching the news, and it was very eerie at night, the recording of listening to whistles being played around the city, symbolizing a whistleblower. And you may have heard the doctor who first flagged the coronavirus as a danger died this past week. When he initially flagged the danger of the virus, government forces put a silence on him. And so people in the last while have been blowing whistles to remember the importance of whistleblowers. Very important role in our society, and often criticized, often denounced, and yet also pointing out injustice and wrongs that are happening around us. I brought my whistle along this morning as a remembrance of that. You'll notice the invitation in our prayers to pray for particularly Mennonite Church mission workers in China as they also deal with the virus, as many of you are aware. I will invite who's leading this morning, Trish and Ingrid, to begin worship.
Thank you.
Good morning. Do you like to sing? No. Some of us don't. Some, no. Some do. We just finished singing. Some of the songs we sang, I just really, really like. I was singing quite heartily this morning. Do you perhaps play a musical instrument? You play a musical instrument? Okay. Yeah, a little bit. For our church choirs, Mr. Entz is sitting up there in the choir loft, our church choirs have a conductor, usually. Sometimes Ms. Entz plays from the conducts from the piano. But conductors are important people for the choir. Do you know why? The conductor knows the music well and invites both the pianist and the singers when to begin, and just as importantly, when to end. And sometimes conductors use something other than just their hands. And I brought mine along with, well, it's not mine, it's my wife Renata's with me, my baton for conducting a choir. And so this, with just very easy hand movements, I'm able to have people to sing. We don't have any music. And also when to end. That's the role of a conductor, is to help choirs or musicians when to start and when to end. Today's sermon is from the book of Revelation, and in it there's an important passage, in my opinion, that has Jesus saying, "Look, I'm coming soon. I am the Alpha and the Omega." In the Greek language, that's kind of like the A and the Z, the Alpha and the Omega. "I am the first and the last, the beginning and the end." It's the beginning and the end. It's like a conductor who says, we start now and we finish now. Another aspect of that is the conductor needs to know the music really, really well. Right, Mr. Entz? Yeah, okay. Because the conductor is not only telling the choir when to start and when to stop, but also how to interpret the music. And so they sing or play their instruments very, very soft, or they get them to play really, really loud, maybe slow, or maybe really, really fast. That's the role of the conductor, how to interpret the music. And so the piano player and the singers, they have to watch the conductor most of the time, right? But they also pay attention to the music, like they hold in front of them, like I hold my notes. You guys are smiling. Are you, Alvin, I think we better have a talk. But the conductor helps the choir interpret the music. The singers, they pay attention to the music for the words and the tunes they sing, and it's very much like us as Christians who pay attention to the Bible in learning how Jesus invites us how to live. And so the conductor, the beginning and the end, as well as the music, God's word that leads us through life from our beginning to our end. Bow with me in prayer. Gracious God, thank you for beginnings and endings. various aspects of life. We're doing that all the time. We wake in the morning and we go to sleep at night. May your grace provide what we need as to how to live each day, so that is a day of blessing from you and a blessing to others. We thank you for this time together in our worship this morning. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And that ends the story.
Use both hands there.
On occasion in our worship service, as today, we invite sharing of joys and concerns that you may have, that things you may want to share with the church family, and give opportunity for that at this time. Recognize the Eitzens are back with us from being down south, and had a good time there, I learned. Typical for this time of year, very hot in Paraguay. So welcome back home. Anyone with something to share? Yes, Ellie.
I just want to thank all of you who prayed for my grandson. His surgery was successful, so we praise the Lord for that. Thank you.
When those kinds of things go well for others, it's much to be thankful for.
Brian. Thanks, Randy. Yeah, it's been 3 years that I've been here, and this is a big part of my family, and I like to celebrate this, of course. I had an extraordinary event start on Monday. I've been searching for my birth family for about 50 years now, and on Ancestry, I got a Bing. It was actually a brother had put in his DNA, and so that was cool. We sent a message. My brother Robert, Thursday, having conversation. Brother Keith, Friday. My two sisters, yesterday. And I gotta say, they are a chatty bunch and quite a time of celebration. And what was special during that talks was I was able to talk about my family at church and how good it makes my life. And I just like to, it is a time of celebration. And just wanted to share that. Thank you.
It's exciting. Sometimes we've heard some of those stories, and here's one of them right here. Yeah, blessings to you as you reconnect with, or connect, I should say. Not reconnect, but connect with those folks. Checking behind me. Invite us along with those concerns and others in our listed in our bulletin to bow with me in prayer. Gracious God, we give you thanks for this day of worship and day of rest, a day to connect with our faith family, and certainly as Brian has shared, events this past week of connecting with his birth family, and just want to celebrate that. It is so important to know who we are, and certainly in our relationship of faith with Jesus, to know that we are created by you, we are loved by you, we are redeemed in the name of Jesus when things have gone astray. May your grace continue to just overflow for us in ways that bring healing and hope, in ways that bring courage and strength for the living of our days. There's so much going on in the world these days, and if we listen about what's happening in our own community, concerns of well-being for various people, And so we thank you for the healing that others have experienced for Ellie's grandson. We also pray for Ellie Hildebrandt, who is experiencing recovery after a fall and returning home. We pray for families who've experienced loss this past week, and for the Andres family. Their journey with their mother in the Sirth has come to an end, but for the faith they express of meeting her again in eternity. We also thank you with joy and celebration for the safe arrival of Lucia Sherman. May you continue to bless Nick and Megan and Jubilee as they grow as a family, and especially for these early days of their becoming acquainted with one another, and also a time of just sharing the rich joy of being family. We pray also for our ministries of the church, and in particular as parents, youth and children in our life together. May we just have that grounding of knowing who we are again because of what Christ has done for us, and may that strengthen us for the living of our days. Pray your blessing now as we share our tithes and offerings for the ministries of the church, for the wider church, and may you provide what we need, but may we also share abundantly from what you have blessed us with. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Invite the ushers to receive the offering. Thank you.
I saw in heaven another great and marvelous sign, seven angels with the seven last plagues. Last, because with them God's wrath is completed. And I saw what looked like a sea of glass mixed with fire, and standing beside the sea were those who had been victorious over the beast and his image, and over the number of his name. They held harps given to them by God, and they sang the song of Moses and the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb. Great and marvelous are your deeds, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are your ways, King of the ages. Who will not fear you, O Lord, and bring glory to your name? For you alone are holy. All nations will come and worship before you, for your righteous acts have been revealed. After this, I looked in heaven, the temple, that is the tabernacle of the testimony, was opened. Out of the temple came the seven angels with the seven plagues. They were dressed in white, shining linen, and they wore golden sashes around their chests. Then one of the four living creatures gave to the seven angels seven golden bowls filled with the wrath of God, who lives forever and ever. And the temple was filled with smoke from the glory of God and from his power, and no one could enter the temple until the seven plagues of the seven angels were completed.
This past week, I was visiting with someone dealing with various issues in their life, and they began by saying, "In the last while, I've had some dreams, disturbing dreams that have kept this person awake at night." And as we talked, I found myself almost describing in very general terms, but some of the things that we read in the book of Revelation. And they kept saying, yeah. They kept identifying with that sense of troubling visions and yet not quite understanding what the visions were saying about their life and what they were dealing with. And I just found it fascinating because I found myself kind of going, yeah, this is what reading the book of Revelation is like. There's all kinds of strange things going on, and we may not understand them all, but we look to Jesus Christ, for whom the revelation is, for our faith and trust as we live our days. And so this morning we are wrapping up our series, Worthy, Rethinking Worship, Beginning at the End, considering selected music passages in the book of Revelation. And when Nick was still here early this past week, I said to him, "Nick, there's so many other songs in the book of Revelation." And he says, yeah, I know, but we need to move on. There are some other things we want to work with. So just my encouragement to read. There's a lot of music. We don't typically think of the book of Revelation as a book of music. And yet there is so much rich music of faith that comes out of it. And so our series has been helping us to sort of recognize that the book of Revelation is more than just wild dreams and conflict and terrible things going on. So again, if you haven't read through it, perhaps pick it up and read with that different lens. As read for us by Liz this morning, we're looking at Revelation chapter 15, the song of Moses and of the Lamb. Very important text there. And as the book of Revelation progresses, its structure becomes a little bit more complex. The seven seals, seven trumpets, they have passed, and now we're told seven angels, the seven last plagues, which are the seven, lots of sevens here, aren't there? The seven bowls of God's wrath. Wow. John's vision of the book of Revelation came to him at a time of severe persecution of Christians. And he shares what he sees in his visions with the intent of providing hope and confidence to people who were suffering like he was in prison. It's about the hope and confidence of faith. And so we're focusing on the songs in Revelation and in chapter 15 after verses 3 and 4 and before verses 3 and 4. That's where the song is if you check the text. The song of Moses and the Lamb. Before and after this song, John makes reference to God's wrath. Very important theme in the book of Revelation, but let's not be overcome by it. I hope the message here helps us to understand that a little bit better. The larger context here in Scripture and in the book of Revelation, the symbolism of the bowls of God's wrath. Earlier in Revelation, we learn that the bowls are containers, and the containers hold incense. You know, the smelly stuff that burns and the smoke, and it rises. The image that Revelation, that John has here, is the bowls of incense being the prayers of the saints. And you get this image of the prayers rising up before God. Fascinating image. Thus, the bowls of wrath, God's response to the prayers being lifted by the Christian saints who are requesting and pleading for vindication and relief from the persecution they're experiencing. God's wrath is the response. Very important for us to understand. God's wrath is not punishment. God's wrath is not punishment for spilt milk at the breakfast table. God's wrath is not punishment for, heard in the news this last week, the coronavirus is God's punishment for certain people, and you know who they are. I heard that and I kind of went, get serious, come on. Really? In Revelation, God's wrath is not punishment. The followers of Jesus, for them, God's wrath is for them to receive justice. Justice from persecution. It is not punishment for wrongdoing. According to John's revelation, the followers of Jesus have lifted their prayers before God like the rising aroma of the incense, asking God for relief from unjust suffering. The wrath of the seven bowls full are about to be poured out on the earth, John's vision says. For people hearing about God's wrath, it's common to assume that God is angry. And then the question quickly becomes, if God is God angry at me? What did I do? How did I live my life? If God is angry with me, there must be something I can do to make things right with God. Do you not kind of find yourself going, hey, wait a minute, Clausen. If God's angry with me, there must be something I can do to make things right with God. Am I a follower of Jesus or am I a follower of myself? If I can't make things right, then what's the use? What's the use if I can't make it right? Remember, it's about Jesus Christ. Before we consider the song in verses 3 and 4, some historical background to our question, is God angry? During the 1730s, going way back here, stay with me, 1730s and the 1740s, there was a spiritual great awakening that swept through Britain and the American colonies. The colonies, remember your history, 1730. Sweeping through Britain and the American colonies, this awakening was based on a theological message of revival and salvation, and it created a common evangelical identity. The Great Awakening. There are historians sometimes credits several of them along the way. Listeners in that time period heard preaching on the importance of the Holy Spirit and salvation in Jesus Christ, which moved them to a deep personal conviction and religious conversion that was the new birth that was both intellectual and of the heart. Great stuff. That's why it's called the Great Awakening. Most prominent and still popular is an example of that preaching during that time period of the Great Awakening in 1741, a sermon by Jonathan Edwards. Sinners in the hands of an angry God. Edwards hoped the imagery and the language of his sermon would awaken the audiences to the horrific reality of hell that awaits them should they continue living without calling on Christ to be saved. Important stuff. The Great Awakening revival united evangelicals across denominations, and it also created divisions in the churches. Critics of the movement cited disorder and fanaticism, enabling uneducated itinerant preachers to stir up religious enthusiasm. Downside of things. And while the movement introduced many to a personal faith, a good thing, it also spawned missionary organizations that were independent of church foundations. It became a very individualized faith. Not so good. And I've always been puzzled by the evangelical, I'm using capital E is sometimes how I refer to it, capital E evangelical approach that portrays God as an angry ogre. An angry ogre who threatens eternal punishment in the fires of hell unless sinners confess and buy into faith with eternal fire insurance as a policy. You may have heard certain threads of this thinking. Buy your policy, all is well, you go on with whatever you want to do in life. Right? Most of us have insurance policies for various things, which allows us to sort of relax because if something happens, then things will be looked after. But what about an eternal fire insurance policy? In support of the fire insurance style of life, the book of Revelation has a great deal of imagery describing things like the lake of fire, lots of references there, and other horrible, punishing images. They're there. And there are times I've been puzzled by people perceiving the book of Revelation as being a source of turn or burn thinking. It's a style of theology. Turn or burn. It's either or. And this turn or burn understanding is at the root of God being the angry ogre who will not be pleased unless one knuckles under. Interesting term, isn't it? Knuckles under? You might have heard that before. The reference there is, if I were to kneel down and my hands on the floor, my knuckles would be turned under. It's an act of submission. Knuckle under. God will not be pleased unless I knuckle under and confess allegiance to him through Jesus Christ. The alternative. The alternative is the eternal fire of hell and suffering. Which is it? Where are you going to be? It reminds me, recently saw For Eternity, are you going to be in smoking or non-smoking? See, there's the humor in it. And yet you get the theology, the thinking about God that comes with that. Yeah. Contemporary readers, current readers of Jonathan Edwards' sermon from 1741 have described his sermon as evangelism by terrorism. Pardon the pun, but for me, I describe it as slipped my mind. Evangelism by its turn or burn, but here it is, scaring the hell out of people. Yeah? Okay? You scare the hell out of them, you save them for heaven, right? Either or. Stay with me. I've never understood Jesus. Search the Gospels. I've never understood Jesus to invite followers by demanding loyalty from them by using tactics of fear. As I read the scriptures in the Gospel stories of Jesus, when he says to various people, "Follow me," I don't hear him using tactics of fear. Follow me or else. He doesn't do that. In fact, those who demand loyalty or trust, in my opinion, don't deserve it. Why? Because they don't understand it. Those who demand loyalty and trust, don't deserve it, and they don't understand it. It's like the fictional character in the Harry Potter series, Voldemort, J.K. Rowling's Harry Potter series. And those of you familiar with that, you get how Voldemort operated and how quickly his followers, excuse the expression, evaporated, disappeared, when they thought his power was over. His demand for loyalty from others was simply based on fear, which is the very proof that he didn't deserve it. Interestingly enough, there are others these days who use the same or similar tactics, demanding loyalty out of fear. I hope and pray for a different relationship with Jesus than one that is built on a foundation of fear. The song in Revelation 15. The visions of John, steeped in imagery from the Old Testament. The song of Moses and the song of the Lamb, as described for us in verses 3 and 4. Both allude to God's ability to conquer evil. The song of Moses, Exodus 15, verses 1 and 2. I will sing to the Lord, for he is highly exalted. Both horse and rider, got that image? Parting of the Red Sea with the Egyptian army chasing after the people, running for their lives. Both horse and rider he is hurled into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my defense. He has become my salvation. Moses' song about the Exodus. And where in Exodus Moses celebrates God's ability to free the Hebrew people from slavery in Egypt, John's vision in Revelation is also celebrating people of all nations receiving their liberation from the powers of evil. Now you get the connections about these visions of John to a people who were suffering, people who were longing for courage and hope in incredible suffering. And so Revelation 15, great and marvelous are your deeds, O Lord, God Almighty. All nations, Moses, the Lamb, all nations will come and worship before you, for your righteous acts have been revealed. God's unfolding grace for our salvation. The bowls of wrath, God's response to the prayers offered by Christian saints, like the incense rising before God, requesting vindication and relief from the persecution they were suffering. And as followers of Jesus, God's wrath is not for us to receive punishment. It's God's act of justice to deliver you from evil. Striking parallels between the Exodus song of Moses and John's images in Revelation. The Lamb in the book of Revelation, Egypt and Rome, Pharaoh and Caesar, plagues and the bowls, the Red Sea, the Euphrates River, the song of Moses, the Lamb, the tabernacle, the tent of witness, the hardening of Pharaoh's heart, and refusal to repent. These are all parallels that are coming through in this song. And the purpose of God's wrath is to remove sin, evil, lovelessness, godlessness from the world. And God's actions are therefore justice, not vengeance. Verse 4. Who will not fear you, Lord, and bring glory to your name? For you alone are holy. All nations, all peoples will come and worship before you, for your righteous acts have been revealed. It's interesting what Bible commentators, and I checked my Greek dictionaries, what they say about God's wrath, especially as it's written in Revelation 15. In verse 1, Revelation 15, God's wrath appears as a verb, indicating action. In verse 7, after the song, God's wrath is a noun, indicating an object. Verse 1, God's wrath action is completed. Verse 7, the seven bowls are filled with the wrath object of God, the justice. And both verses, in the English, the term wrath is not our typical understanding of one who is angry. Wrath is more of a violent movement, like water that's boiling up. Wrath is what moves, or what has moved. That's the understanding in the biblical sense of wrath. And so the song of Moses and the song of the Lamb, Jesus Christ, is the vision of God's movement directed to give people who are living in persecution hope. The Exodus story, God's wrath moved the Hebrew people out of slavery in Egypt. And so I hear in reading Revelation 15, God's wrath is to move our lives away from the destructive acts of sin and evil. It's the very act of God's salvation for us. God's wrath is not to condemn. God's wrath is to deliver, to move you away from the powers of evil and sin. The book of Revelation is first and foremost the revelation of the Lamb, Jesus Christ, the one sent by God to deliver you from destruction. You may be bound by destructive powers of some kind of an addiction. You may be trapped in a relationship of fear. You may be suppressed by attitudes or structures that prevent you from freedom. You may be threatened because of your convictions to upholding the truth. Remember when I began? It's the whistleblower, the truth, declaring the truth about what is happening in our world. And then there are those who threaten the whistleblower. Is God angry? The song of Revelation 15, the revelation of God's wrath, is not to condemn, but to deliver us from the powers of evil. And so I read from the gospel story, the gospel of John 3, chapter 3. We immediately think of verse 16. And I always want to add verse 17 because it's overlooked. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. It's about salvation, God's grace, God's forgiveness, God's power to deliver you. At the core of God's wrath, that's where it's directed. And so the invitation to faith in Jesus, it's not a threat. It's an invitation. Jesus invites you to follow him in a relationship of trust, that he will guide you through the challenges of this life. The invitation to Jesus in a relationship of trust that he will provide for you, the Lamb who was slain, who is also the Good Shepherd. Follow him with a living faith that gives you hope for this life and for life eternal. I invite you to bow with me in prayer. Gracious God, with so much going on in the world and sometimes world events are even minuscule compared to the struggles we have within. And sometimes it's difficult just to get up for the day. It's difficult to know what to do as events unfold. And so we look to you. Show us your wrath, the power that comes from Jesus Christ to move us away from destruction, to deliver us from evil, because of the coming of your kingdom, both now and forevermore. We put our trust in him because of your love and your compassionate care for us whom you have created, whom you have called to faith in Jesus Christ. Amen. As you leave from this time of worship this morning, be careful how you live, not as unwise, but as wise people, making the most of every opportunity in the name of Jesus Christ. Look to him, the author and finisher of our faith, the beginning and the end. Amen.